Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is a roundup of the latest news and events from the world of business, finance and investment. I've picked out a few stories that I think are interesting, relevant and maybe a little bit of fun at the end of the video. So in today's video, we're going to talk about Evergrande. They have just had their bondholder conference call, so I can tell you exactly what the company told all of the bondholders. We'll talk about the IMF's updated forecasts for global growth for 2022 and 2023. And this is 3 months after the previous set of forecasts, and they have downgraded all of the forecasts. So a much more pessimistic view of the outlook for the next couple of years from the IMF. We'll talk about General Motors' latest announcement about their investment in electric vehicles and compare that to what's happening with Ford. And we'll also have a look at the Rivian share price that I've been keeping an eye on. I'll then provide you with some information on lithium, which is the main ingredient into electric vehicle batteries. And the price of lithium has been going sky high recently. And there's a lot of concern about shortages of lithium going forward. So I'll have a look into that. And finally today, I'll tell you about one of the least sophisticated financial frauds that I've come across in a long time. As you know, I like to cover off stories about financial fraud and talk about sophisticated ways that people come up with to enable them to run off with somebody else's money. Now, this story is at the opposite end of the spectrum, but I think it might put a smile on your face. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And as always, I've included chapters in this video, so if you're not that interested in one of the particular topics, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next one. So if you've been following the channel, you know that I recently posted a video talking about a proposal that Evergrande were working upon and that they'd set up a conference call to talk to the bondholders to give them some update on what it was they're thinking about doing. And this was a major step forward because Evergrande have been completely ignoring all of the bondholders over the last 6 months or so. And the bondholders recently appointed Harneys to represent them in a potential liquidation action. So the bondholders are getting more aggressive. They're putting the pressure on. And the company finally acknowledged this and agreed to have this call. So the call is now concluded and the company has advised all of the bondholders that it will put together a preliminary restructuring proposal within the next 6 months. Now, as you can imagine, that went down like a lead balloon with all of the bondholders. Everybody was expecting to hear some details as to what Evergrande were actually proposing, what sort of plan they had to propose to the bondholders, how they're going to pay them back the $19 billion that they owe them. But actually what the company has done is just stalled for time. All they've said is, leave it with us, give us 6 months, and we'll come up with a prelim plan. So not even a fully baked proposal, just a concept, an idea as to what it is they're thinking about. The call was hosted by Sue Shaun, who is the chairman of the Evergrande electric vehicles business, who's recently joined the main board. And it looks like this is the guy who's going to be taking the company forward. There's a lot of speculation that Evergrande is going to become an electric vehicle business, and a lot of the property assets will be moved across to the government under its nationalisation plan. So I can give you a couple of quotes from Sue Shaun from the call. He said, "The board of directors and the risk management committee look forward to having further communications with investors and respectfully request not to take any aggressive legal action in order to maintain stability for the mutual benefits of all stakeholders. We notice there are doubts about the transparency and the restructuring process of the group. We'd like to take this opportunity to explain to all creditors that the board of directors, the risk management committee and the group will work expeditiously to stabilise the group operation." So what he said there was absolutely nothing at all. All he said was that we know that you're threatening to take some legal action. Please don't do that. And we know that you're accusing us of not giving you any information whatsoever, but leave it with us and we'll sort something out. So this is a thoroughly underwhelming start to these restructuring negotiations. And as I said in my previous video, I think what is happening here is that the Evergrande management team are just stalling for time. They're delaying the process. They're making it look like they've made some attempt to start the discussions. But actually what's really happening is that the government and the risk management committee are assessing which assets they would like, which ones want to be nationalised, and then they will be removed from the Evergrande group. And by the time we get to the point of seeing some form of restructuring proposal, I think there'll be very little value left in the Evergrande group. I actually think there's very little value already. I think we've gone past the point of any of the bondholders having any hope of getting their $19 billion back. But Evergrande are doing the dance. They're going through the motions a little bit. They're making some concessions just to keep the wolves from the door. This is purely to stop the legal process starting and some form of liquidation process commencing. So no real update. We're no further forward than we were before that conference call. But all it does is confirm the fact that nothing is going to happen for the next 6 months in terms of a restructuring. And it will be really interesting to see whether or not the bondholders decide to push forward and take some sort of action. My bet is that they won't, because where's it going to get them? What is going to actually be achieved by them starting some sort of process which the Chinese authorities can completely ignore anyway? But I'll keep you posted and I'll let you know if there's any more news or developments. The International Monetary Fund is an organisation that's supported by 190 countries around the world, and they are focused on the world of finance and trying to promote international trade, support sustainable growth, and to reduce poverty in every country in the world. And the IMF produce quarterly forecasts for global economic growth. And they've just published their latest set of forecasts, which are far more pessimistic than the ones that we saw in October 2021. Their forecast for global growth for 2022 is now 4.4%, compared with 4.9% 3 months ago. So quite a considerable reduction. And the forecast for 2023 is 3.8%. Now, the main factors in the reduction of these growth forecasts are the ongoing impact of COVID. So they've identified Omicron as something that is of concern. It's causing lockdowns and a reduction in trade and a reduction in travel. So they've downgraded the forecasts because of that. And they're also concerned about the rising political tension in Russia and Ukraine, which they see as potentially having a global impact because of supply issues and other war-related factors. The IMF have reduced their growth forecasts for the two biggest economies quite significantly, with the USA forecast being reduced to 4% from the previous figure of 5.2%, and China reduced to 4.8% versus the previous figure of 5.6%. The forecast for Europe has also been downgraded from the previous figure of 4.3% to the new figure of 3.9%. It's the same story in Latin America, where the new forecast of 2.4% growth in 2022 compares to the previous forecast of 3%. They've also updated their inflation forecasts, and they're now expecting 3.9% average inflation in 2022 in advanced economies and 5.9% inflation in emerging economies. And the main drivers for inflation are food and fuel prices, which is a story that we're very familiar with on this channel. In their report, they've said that 70 million more people are now living in extreme poverty compared with pre-pandemic. So it's had a massive impact on the emerging and developing nations of the world. And they've also said that 60% of low-income countries are at high risk of debt distress now. So overall, a pretty negative outlook from the IMF. They downgraded their forecasts quite significantly, and they're still focusing on COVID as being the main driver for the problems. Back in June, General Motors advised the markets that it intended to invest $35 billion into electric vehicle production facilities. And as part of that program, they've just announced a $7 billion investment in Michigan to boost their production of full-size electric pickups. The money is being invested into the Detroit, Hamtramck and Orion Township plants, and they're expecting to have productivity up to 600,000 vehicles per year by 2024. As part of this announcement, they've also announced a $2.6 billion investment into an EV battery plant in Lansing, which they're creating in conjunction with their partner LG, and this will be the third electric battery plant for GM. So this level of investment is similar to Ford, who recently announced that they were investing $11 billion into two production facilities in Kentucky and Tennessee, and that they will also be able to produce 600,000 vehicles per year from those plants. So things are continuing to hot up in the world of electric pickup trucks. And I wanted to touch on Rivian, which is a stock that I follow. And as you'll know, I've posted a couple of videos on Rivian questioning whether or not the market cap and the valuation made any sense whatsoever. So far, Rivian have only produced around about 1,000 vehicles. And at the time of their IPO, they'd only actually made 350 vehicles. And they had a market cap of over $100 billion. And at one point, they were valued higher than both Ford and General Motors. I just wanted to provide an update because at the time I posted that video, the share price was trading at around about $85. And that compared to the list price of $78 on the IPO. And at that point, I was saying that I thought it was overpriced and that if you were interested in shorting stocks, then this was one that you should definitely look at. Since I posted that video, the Rivian share price has crashed and is down around 30%. But I still think it's got further to go. I'm still very pessimistic on Rivian and its outlook. I think it's right at the start of its journey. Okay, it doesn't have all of the baggage that Ford and General Motors have in terms of all of their fossil fuel vehicles. But we're a long way from being 100% focused on electric vehicles. So I still think there is a lot of froth in the Rivian valuation, and I wouldn't be surprised if that share price came down further. So electric vehicles are big news right now, and the growth forecasts for this sector are massive. And over the next 10 or 15 years, we will see a replacement of all traditional vehicles with electric vehicles. But the batteries in electric vehicles rely upon a variety of metals, and one of the most important is lithium. Now, lithium is one of the softest and least dense metals. And if you're of a certain age and your school was similar to mine, you may remember your chemistry teacher dropping a piece of lithium into a beaker of water and watching it catch fire and fizzle all around the jar. And in that chemical reaction, lithium gives off hydrogen, and your chemistry teacher would have collected that in a test tube and then set fire to it with a little pop. And lithium is used in the production of batteries, lithium ion batteries, which are at the core of all electric vehicles. And the projected growth in the use of electric vehicles and the production of these batteries is driving demand for lithium, and the prices have gone sky high. Over the last 6 months, the price of lithium has increased almost 400%. Now, lithium is extracted from the earth in two ways. Either it is mined in a solid form, or it's extracted in liquid form from underground brine reservoirs. The biggest identified reserves in the world are in Australia, and it's extracted using a mining process. And in 2020, Australia provided just under 50% of the global supply of lithium. The country with the next largest deposits is Chile, and they use the brine solution method. And they provided around about 22% of the global supply in 2020, and the third largest producer is China, which had around about 17%. And China is the biggest single user of lithium, and in 2021 used around 85% of the global supply of lithium in the production of batteries. So I've had some interesting news this week from Rio Tinto, which is the giant Australian mining business. Now, they've been working on a project in Serbia called the Jadar Lithium Project. They'd identified a rich source of lithium and had spent around $450 million doing feasibility studies as to how they were going to extract all of this lithium. Now, there were a lot of objections in Serbia from environmentalist groups who didn't want Rio Tinto coming in and creating mines and digging huge holes in the ground. The original concept was given the green light by the Serbian government. However, this story has taken an interesting twist over the last couple of weeks. If you've been following the sports news, you may have heard that the Serbian superstar Novak Djokovic was recently deported from Australia. So he arrived in Australia as the world number one and the reigning Australian Open champion. However, Novak Djokovic has not been vaccinated, and it appears that he'd made some misleading or confusing statements on his visa application. This caused him to be issued with a deportation notice, which was initially reversed and he was allowed to stay. Now, the Serbian Prime Minister got involved in all of these discussions and made an appeal to the Australian authorities to let Novak Djokovic stay and to play in the tournament. But then the government did a U-turn and deported him unceremoniously from the country. So it's really interesting to note that less than a week after all of those shenanigans, the Serbian government have now turned around and refused Rio Tinto's application for this lithium mine. And this lithium mine was going to be significant in global supply terms. Rio Tinto were estimating that at full capacity, the mine would have produced 58,000 tonnes of lithium per year. But as it stands at the moment, that won't be happening. There is an election due in Serbia in April, and Rio Tinto are holding out for a change of government and potentially a change of perspective. But this does throw up the interesting question as to how much lithium is there in the world, and can we cope with the forecast increase in demand for lithium that's going to be driven by the increase in electric vehicles? So I've got a few charts to share with you here. The first shows the growth in demand from electric vehicles and hybrid cars. And you can see that there is a huge increase over the next 4 years that's forecast for electric vehicles. So if we now look at a graph which shows a combination of the supply and demand for lithium, you can see the continued increase in demand. However, the production of lithium requires new sources to be found because the current rates of extraction will not meet the forecast increase in demand. So electric cars are great and it's going to be positive for the environment and reduce the amount of emissions. However, there is still a big question over a number of different factors. The first here is obviously the supply of lithium. There's also some questions about the supply of nickel, which is used in electric car batteries. And then there's a bigger picture issue about the general level of electricity that will be needed to charge all of these cars. But all of those issues are questions for another day. I just wanted to talk about lithium here to make sure that everybody was aware of what lithium is, what it's used for, what the forecast demand is, and what the supply levels are right now. And the mildly amusing story about the spat caused by Novak Djokovic's deportation from Australia highlights the fact that we really do need to get more lithium extraction going, because otherwise the world will run short and then we'll be left in a horrible situation where we won't have enough batteries for the new electric cars. And what do we do then? And finally today, I wanted to share the story of possibly the most incompetent attempt at financial fraud I have ever heard of in my life. Now, this story comes from Ireland and relates to a 66-year-old man called Peter Doyle. Now, Peter Doyle is a pensioner who collects his pension every week from the local post office. Now, Mr. Doyle was reportedly not feeling very well recently, so he sent his nephew to the post office to collect his pension for him. But the post office official said that he wasn't allowed to give it to him and that he would have to come in person. So Mr. Doyle's nephew and his friend decided to help him go collect his pension from the post office. However, it appears that Mr. Doyle had died some time before that. So Mr. Doyle's nephew and his friend were seen carrying his body with a jumper wrapped around his face and a hat on his head. And they dragged this body all the way into the post office. Now, unfortunately, when they got there, there was a large queue. So they dragged him all the way past the queue and his feet were dragging along the ground. And then they asked the cashier to give him his pension. Now, the cashier saw that he was obviously dead and refused to make the payment. An ambulance subsequently arrived and took the body away. And it's been reported that potentially he may have been dead for up to 2 days. When interviewed about this matter, the two gentlemen who helped Mr. Doyle into the post office said that they believed that he'd had a heart attack on the way to the post office and that he just went a bit slumpy once he got in there. So quite an unusual story. And if you've ever seen the film Weekend at Bernie's and thought that that could never happen, well, you were wrong, because it has actually happened in Ireland in the last week. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found the stories interesting, informative, and possibly a little bit amusing. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.